Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We'd like to take this moment to thank our engineer, Jeff Bilodeau, our music by Derek Audette, interns Sarah, Andrew, Leah, Deidre, and Chrissy. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Couldn't do this without our interns. You know, seriously, they add so much value to this. I really appreciate their work here. We're going to shift gears now from real estate to cancer. I don't have a good segue for that one. I really don't. But it's serious business. Blaise Barillette is with us. His company is CureMatch. Blaise, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you all for having me here.
Now, you have a bit of an accent. You're from Texas, right?
Yeah, Paris, Texas. Paris, France, actually.
So you're French then?
Absolutely, I am.
Yeah, and that's why you have this little bit of a really delicious accent, because I love hearing French people speak English.
It's really hard to get rid of it.
Is it really?
Yeah, I've tried, but everybody reminds me that I have somehow something of a papier de pew.
People assume that you're more interesting with the accent. Don't try to get rid of it.
I won't.
So tell us a little bit about CureMatch and what you do there.
So CureMatch is a revolutionary company that has a new way to treat cancer a little more effectively than the standard of care that what is done right now.
So you have a new way to look at treatment for cancer compared to what it is today. What would be, because I read this thing that you put out on pancreatic cancer and the fact that there's so many different treatments and they're not applied correctly a lot of times. Would that be a fair statement?
That's correct. Actually, medicine is totally shifting from a one treatment fits all for a cancer patient to actually personalized medicine, where we understand that everyone's cancer is very different. We made a lot of bad assumptions over the past decades that somebody who's got a prostate cancer, all prostate cancer are all the same, and they're not. We also thought that cancer is attached to an organ, and it's not. It metastasizes to other organs. So all of that has been totally changing the way medicine is done right now, right here in San Diego. We understand it's all about an individual, about a patient. It's all about the genes, the genetic footprint that the tumors have. And instead of providing one treatment for all prostate cancer, what we're doing is actually provide a customized treatment for that one patient that has a very specific cancer.
Gotten that far along now, where we're actually kind of getting to the bespoke medicine where it's created just for you. Does that come from being able to analyze the genes of a human being? Do you figure out how that person's made up based on their genes and then apply a solution to it?
Absolutely. Actually, I just recently got my whole genome sequence for
myself,
and I've learned lots of very interesting things.
Illumina is one of the big companies doing that here in San Diego, right? Do you guys work in conjunction with them?
The Illumina is a company that builds the equipment to do that, and they were the first one to do that. And then you have companies who actually use the equipment to do the sequencing of DNA, whether it's for a person that's not sick or it's sequencing the DNA of the cancer cells or some other disease.
So you had your genome mapped then, right?
That's correct.
And you said you found some interesting things. I know that's
sure.
Very personal, but what kinds of things would you find out by having your genome mapped?
Well, I found out that actually I have a little gene defect. And for a long time, I'm losing balance a little bit, kind of like when somebody's drunk. You're walking and, you lose a little bit your balance. And for 20 years, we've tried to find out what it was. Nobody could figure it out.
Wow.
And the full genome sequencing showed actually I was having a gene problem that was affecting a protein in my body that creates some sensory neurological issues.
Seriously?
Yeah, it took me 20 years
to figure it out. So it's not just growing older and losing balance. There's actually a deficiency in the genes that's causing that. So I can blame everything on my genes now.
You can.
Yeah. So how in the world do you, since mapping the genome is a big deal, I mean, that was a two decade long process. How in the world do you figure out what somebody's genome is today and then apply the solutions if they have cancer? It seems like that would take an awful lot of either computing power or a lot of people around it. What do you do to figure that out?
Actually, it was extremely computer intensive. 15, 20 years ago to do this. Now it's becoming extremely cheap, very inexpensive. It's almost like a commodity business. And the whole idea is, what do we do with this? And one of the first application is definitely a cancer. Cancer is very deadly. As we know, about one person in the U.S. dies from cancer every minute. There are about three other persons during that minute that are actually getting diagnosed.
Wow.
So applying DNA sequencing on tumors was very interesting to understand actually, you know, how cancer is, why cancer develops, what's wrong with these cells, you know, why do they grow, and how can we stop that?
Do you have any knowledge or understanding now of that? I mean, in other words, if somebody does have a tumor, is that because of a defect in their in a gene, or are we not quite that far yet with it?
Yeah, actually, yes, it's more than one defect. What we call defect actually is called aberration. So you have these gene aberrations, and when somebody gets his cancer tumor sequenced, the companies that provide the service come back with a list of all the aberrations. And this is something we're using at CureMatch. We bring that information into our system, and our system comes back with a selection of drugs and treatments that would work for that person.
So how is it done without that? In other words, if you're not going to, if a physician is working, an oncologist is working with a cancer patient, and they're going to recommend treatment without the information you're talking about, how is that determined in medical system today?
Yeah, it's a good question, because actually the latest statistics show us that about only 2.5% of cancer patients use the new DNA way to understand
2.5%
cancer.
2.5% of cancer patients are using the model you just spoke
That's
about.
That's right. The ones who know about it.
Wow.
And it's all about patient awareness.
That means 97.5% are getting diagnosed and treated the traditional way.
So they're treating the traditional way. And one of the issues is, as we know, it takes a while for the FDA to change all of that and for the whole regulatory system in the U.S. to adopt new technologies. But if you have cancer, you don't have 3 years or 4 years to wait to fix the problem. You want to be cured right now.
Now, right? The big C is probably one of the scariest things that people ever hear in their entire life, is that they have cancer.
Absolutely.
And so the traditional methodology that's being used today doesn't involve the genome. It involves the oncologist or the physician that's treating making a decision about which would be the best treatment. Is that decision made sometimes based on what's available in the hospital that they're at, or what's available close by, or do all physicians have access to all treatments?
Well, there are multiple answers to that, but the standard treatment for cancer...
Blaze, let me ask you to hold that. When we come back, we're going to talk about how cancer is treated today and what some of the solutions that CureMatch have. Either you or somebody you know will be using this at some point in time. Blaze Barillette is with us. You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back, maybe with the most important information you've ever heard. Stay with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We're broadcasting today from the ESET studios. ESET Internet Security. Do more. Get a podcast of today's show and any of our previous shows. Now we're talking. Go to ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan, here with Blaze Barillette. He is at the helm of a company called CureMatch. We're talking about new techniques in the medical marketplace that allow a diagnosis that is very bespoke. It's dedicated towards the person, the patient that has the cancer right now. And Blaze, thank you so much for taking time out to be here.
You're very welcome.
I want to get back to the standard treatments and how it's different at CureMatch. But you have an interesting story about why you're doing this yourself.
Yeah, I'm doing this myself because I'm also a cancer patient. And I have no biology background at all, but until I got diagnosed 4 years ago with cancer. And I am an entrepreneur, I'm an investor, venture capital guy. And I got really lucky to know a lot of people around here in San Diego. And while I was doing my research, I ended up meeting the co-founders of CureMatch, who had done at UCSD Moore Cancer Center and at the San Diego Supercomputer Center a fantastic job of starting to develop this technology. It was a project at first, and the whole idea was to just to make a business out of it so we can push it to about everybody else in the world who's got cancer.
No, that's amazing. Most people, when they find out they have cancer, retreat and kind of have a tough time dealing with it. You attack this. You went out and said, I'm going to do something to find a way to fix this.
You know, I when you hear the C word, like yeah. you say, it shocks everybody. And I guess every patient I talk to, we're all going through the same phases. So the first, it's just you're shocked. And the second, you're in denial. You're like, no, it can't be true. And then you just become angry. You're like, it's not right. It's not fair. You know, why me? And then the next step is the one that's going to decide whether you do something about it or you don't. And at that level, some people, you know, they're dead already because they just give up.
Right. But
you're talking about the stages of grieving. So you got to the point where you decided you were going to do something. I'm curious, was it something about your treatment in particular you felt was maybe lacking? Or are you just such a curious person that you said maybe there's more to this, maybe there's more that can be done?
Well, actually, it's... when I got diagnosed, everything goes very rapidly. I have a leukemia, and I got scheduled with an oncologist who right away got an appointment with me, and I got to his office, and I could see a line of people getting infusion of chemotherapy, and something was telling me it's just not right. This is not, and it sounded really like a business running more than actually a place where you're trying to make people, you know, feel better or get rid of cancer. And I just didn't go for that. And I'm so glad I didn't. If I had done that, I would probably be dead right now. When I got diagnosed 4 years ago, they told me I had 5 years to live. So I'm already there for 4 years, and you guys can't see me unless you're going on Facebook. But I look pretty good, and I feel
yeah,
very
you do.
Good about it.
Nobody would know
great.
By looking
yeah.
at you.
No,
nobody
you look fantastic.
Would know.
That's true. And I think a lot of the way to fight cancer is just to stay very positive at it. There are lots of changes right now in medicine that affect every illnesses around, not only illnesses, but wellness as well. And I understand what are the good diets, supplements, and exercise that we should get just from looking at the gene of a specific individual. So this is what got me to start CureMatch.
Do you have any statistics on traditional treatment versus the treatment that CureMatch can offer? Actually, CureMatch is not a treatment. It's a tool that allows you to figure out which treatment is the right one.
Yes, I will explain more in detail.
Okay, good.
The standard treatment for most cancer is always first to surgery. If they can't remove the tumor, it's the first way to start. Then the next way is to get radiation, to get rid of whatever cells are left. And it all ends up with chemotherapy. Unfortunately, chemotherapy is not very effective at all. We've known that for years, but it was better than nothing. Some of the latest data I've seen is people who had chemotherapy, 6% of them will be alive 5 years after they started
6%.
Treatment. 6%.
Wow. That's not great odds.
It's not great odds at all.
Wow. So hearing the C word, the cancer that you have cancer is a death sentence for a lot of people.
For a lot of people.
I'm curious. There's a lot of types of cancer. If some people didn't go into chemo, they'd live a little bit longer. Do you think that statistic would actually be a longer statistic or a higher number if people in general were just not doing chemo at all? Or is it a necessary, you know, tool that and
are you asking if chemotherapy actually advances
I think
the,
for some people it
can
kill them quicker, right?
Well, chemotherapy works very well for some people, and actually our technology is considering as well chemotherapy, because we understand now with genetics that some of these chemicals that, you know, that are poison actually, but can really work with some gene aberrations. But you know, most people who get chemo and end up not responding well at all, and not responding at all, while some others actually might get really sicker. It might, you know, change the way the cancer is going, and the cancer might get more aggressive. So it's kind of playing Russian roulette here.
Is chemotherapy used in the majority of cancer cases these days? Is that kind of the go-to therapy, surgery, radiation, chemotherapy?
It is. You know, that industry is changing, and most oncologists, you know, have been practicing for many, many years. The oncologists who got their MD diploma after 2001 definitely had a training about genetics, and they know about precision medicine, and it's still in its infancy, but at least they're learning. But most who have developed these huge, I call that chemo shops, literally, you know, they make money out of chemotherapy, which is sad, shouldn't be that way. You know, a patient gets chemo, so the patient has to come back, needs to get an infusion, so we have a nurse, and needs to come back and come back and come back.
And their life is miserable generally while they're going through it.
Life is miserable, some cannot work, so it costs everybody a lot of money, a lot of time, and it's not very effective at the end of the day.
How does CureMatch then work differently? Do you take the information from their genome and plug it into a computer and come up with some solutions?
That's correct. So we're looking at all the FDA cancer drugs. They're close to 300 right now. And we're looking at it to combine two or three of these drugs together. Out of 300...
A cocktail,
literally, which is called combination therapy. Combining these drugs, it takes 4.5 million possibilities to combine three drugs with the available drugs right now. And
4.5 million combinations.
4.5 million combinations. So
that's more than a physician can work through in their head.
That's absolutely correct. You can take the best oncologist. It doesn't matter how smart he is. There's no way he can compute this by himself. That's why we need technology to help, and that's what CureMatch is doing.
Are you at the point where you need to use supercomputers? I mean, this sounds like a heavy-duty number crunching.
It is a heavy-duty number crunching thing, and good thing that the technology over the past years has really exploded to help us do that.
Blaise Barillet, thank you so much. We're going to get back to this in just a second. CureMatch is the company he's at the helm of. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you go anywhere. We have another segment. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Tomorrow, our in-studio guest is Tracy Porterfield, founder and CEO of Love by Design. Don't miss this show. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. That sounds like, I'm guessing they're a matchmaking company.
Yeah.
Well, that ought to be fascinating.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There's going to be some good stories there,
yeah.
Guaranteed.
Blaise Barillet is with us. CureMatch is his company. Blaise, thanks again for being here. You're an investor, entrepreneur, who was diagnosed with cancer 4 years ago, right?
That's correct.
And as a result of that, you didn't sit around and wait for somebody to give you a solution. You went out and you're hunting it down.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the patients who are aware are the ones who are very likely to be alive. You have to find your own information, you have to defend yourself, and you have to question your physicians, you know, and that's true for about every illness.
So I imagine there's a ton of information out there about from existing cancer patients who have gotten treatment and had different cocktails that were used. Is that part of what CureMatch is doing, is searching through all the existing data to see which cocktails might have been most effective for certain types of cancers?
Actually, we're not really looking at databases of patients. One of the biggest reason is most medical institutions don't have great databases. There's a lot that needs to be actually curated. And we can't really get some great information. IBM has tried, and it's just not working.
The Watson.
IBM Watson. And it's not working. And it's a setback for the whole profession, because IBM has put a lot of marketing effort, and it comes back, you know, fighting them. Instead, what we've done is accumulate the knowledge of our founders, the knowledge of the UCSD Moore Cancer Center team and some other institutions. And we have put all of that knowledge into a computer program. So picture 1,000 oncologists who are looking at your own problems in a very short time and come back with a report that suggests different selection options for treatment. That's what it is. So it helps a little oncologist that could be in the middle of Minnesota who doesn't have the knowledge. We make him become an expert actually in precision medicine instantly using our technology.
How do physicians access the information then? I'm guessing this is relatively new in the medical world, and I'm guessing not all oncologists know about it yet, but the ones that do, how would they access?
So the way they access is right now, most patients who get to know about us, they definitely talk to their oncologists. So we have to educate some of these oncologists and explain to them how we can help them. We're not there to replace them, but we're there to help them be better at their job. And so once the patient's tumor has been DNA sequenced, which some oncologists know how to do very well, we're taking that information and we generate a report. Our report's called Precigene, and we send it back to the oncologist and to the patient, and they can discuss about what's the best option for
so the oncologist would take a sample of the tumor, and then it would be sequenced. The genes would be sequenced. Would that be the right word, or is it a different?
That is correct, and something very interesting to learn is when that technology started, we needed an actual piece of tissue of the tumor. Now there are better ways, what's called liquid biopsies, where we just with a blood draw.
Seriously, you don't have to biopsy the tumor now. You can just draw the blood and get the genome, the markers or whatever it is out of there.
That's right. It's nice to do both if you can. Because the more information we have, the better it is.
Do you have any statistics on the difference between patients that are treated traditionally versus the ones with CureMatch and the information you provide?
We don't have current statistics. There are a few studies that are being made all around right now. The problem is the way clinical trials are right now doesn't work for precision medicine. Clinical trial, again, assume to have all patients with the same illness getting the same drug.
And this would go against that model.
That goes totally against the model.
So that's a conundrum then. If you're going to get approved by the FDA to do this, then how do you do a trial when everybody's got a different outcome?
So it is changing. The FDA not too long ago actually has approved the first drug called Keytruda based on a gene and not on a cancer.
Seriously?
Absolutely. It is changing. They just approved another treatment called CAR-T by Novartis, who's a whole fantastic way to also to cure cancer, some of the blood cancers.
So it's based on that patient's genome, the treatment, not necessarily the kind of cancer that they have.
It's based on the DNA sequencing, on the molecular profile of that tumor.
You can get that from blood then?
We can get that from blood in most cases.
This sounds like a true paradigm shift.
It is, absolutely.
And where are you at in the process of educating oncologists in this? Is this just beginning to educate oncologists, or have you been out? I mean, you just started this, a few years ago, right?
2 years ago, exactly. Yeah. But the whole project was started 4 years ago.
Does the oncologist have to have access to a gene sequencing machine themselves, or do they send you the blood sample personally, and then you go back with the treatment options or tell them what the best treatment might be?
That's a good question. Actually, we're not accessing any sample ourselves. And there are companies who specialize doing that. There are companies that do solid biopsies, from solid tumors, and some others that do liquid biopsy from just a blood draw. And so these companies also are reimbursed now, which is good. It took them a while to do that.
Under Medicare, Medicaid kinds
That's
of
correct.
Reimbursements?
That's correct.
Which is the big one to start with, right?
Which is hard to get. Yeah. For us, it's going to take us a little more time. Even though our service is not very expensive, we're charging $1,000 per patient, and they can have access to as many reports as the cancer changes. And we're not charging for kids. I have 4 kids myself.
Seriously?
Absolutely. We don't want to charge for kids. And to me, when a kid has a cancer, it's the whole family that has cancer. It's just not one person. It's the whole family.
We just heard the same thing, and I heard that for most adults, and the average maybe chemo treatment might be 3 to 6 months. For a child, it's typically 3 years.
It is very, very, very different. One big lack in that industry is about pediatric cancer research. When you think only 4% of the money that comes for the research goes to pediatric cancer, and kids are the ones who have the most to lose. They're going to lose their whole life, their whole entire life. And I'm surprised that nobody really reacts to that. CureMatch will start very soon, a CureMatch Foundation, to address this, because we think that there is a need for more research to help kids being treated with a medicine that's been designed for them.
Can the listeners and the viewers on Facebook contact you or get the information from curematch.com?
Absolutely.
Does that website have a portal into what they need to know?
They absolutely can contact us at curematch.com, and they're very welcome to send me a personal email at blaze@curematch.com.
blaze@curematch.com, curematch.com. It sounds revolutionary. I mean, it does. It talk about disrupting an industry. It sounds like you're on the verge of something very cool here. That's got to be personally very fulfilling.
Actually, now that I think about it, I'm really happy that I was diagnosed with cancer. I don't think I would have, found my own personal mission, and I think I just found it. And hopefully I'm not going to die from cancer. I don't think I will, as long as I got a fantastic team around me. And I hope we're going to be able to save a lot of people, or at least to improve their outcome.
You mentioned, and we're coming to the end here very quickly, but you mentioned that that money that they spend, the $1,000, gives them access to ongoing diagnosis or gene therapy. Does that change as the cancer is treated? Is that why there might be multiple reasons to do that?
Yeah, there are sometimes multiple reasons, because you have the cancer cells, they have clones, and sometimes they have a different footprint, genetic footprint. So while you get rid of one type of cancer cell,
something
the other one that was
up.
Dormant is actually developing. So, and that happens.
Wow. I tell you what, this is pretty cool. CureMatch.com, blaze@curematch.com if you want to send it, blaze@curematch.com. If you want to send him a personal email, Blaze Barillet, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Wow.
That's a heady topic.
Great show.
Great show.
You've been listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
You folks have a great and prosperous day. Bye-bye.